It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
And away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors on this Roy Martin Young Anglers Saturday.
Yep. On the diet.
Yeah, I'm trying to, but you know, people, they, you know, when they rebrand things, yep. You know, I mean, Elon Musk is trying to get everybody to call Twitter X. Now.
Everybody's calling it Twitter.
And I think the JCs have done a better job over time to get us to quit calling it the diet and call it the Roy Barton Young Anglers Tournament. I think JCs have beat Elon Musk, at least at this, with the rebranding.
Maybe so, but the older you are, well, you remember Alabama Day's...
The diet.
The diet.
Yeah, well, yeah. And I can still... See, I said this the other day. I live between both worlds. I can say diet, but I know better.
Yeah.
And I say Roy Barton Young Anglers Tournament. So The Utes out there, hope they're catching fish today. We'll talk about about the big rodeo coming up less than a week away, the 91st Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. We'll do that later on in the show. Tommy McNichol from the JCs will join us. I want to say this before we get into our first discussion with a friend of both of ours on the show. It's okay. I finally have had my feelings hurt. So they sent back out on Thursday the gator hunt stuff.
Yep.
They finalized it.
Really?
Alternate for coastal. So I always put in for the Southwest zone, which is the Delta, and the coastal now, stuff South I-10, and nothing on the Southwest zone. And for those of y'all who haven't followed this, I've been putting in for these since the lottery system or the point system came back.
Yeah.
I've been guiding people gator hunting for 20 years since this thing's been going on, 18 years, however long it's been going on. Been around a lot of gator. Still... Always the bridesmaid, never the bride on this. So, yeah, so if y'all feel badly about if you didn't get drawn for a gator tag for this year, we'll go have a beer and lament these things.
Yeah.
So I am an alternate.
More than one.
Yeah, okay, a couple cases. But I'm an alternate, I guess, whatever that means, again, for the coastal zone. All right, without further ado, mentioned we bring on a buddy of ours and a buddy of both Mike and I's, Brandon Lunsford from Recreational Trailer and Recreational Trailer Sales, and the guy that keeps Mike's boat and my boat on the road. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, how y'all doing?
I'm good. I'm glad to get you on here because, you know, we could do a lot of things on today's show. With rodeo coming up and talk about, all right, here's tactics for catching a bigger snapper or a trout, or here's what I'm doing with rigging or this and that. Everybody's already done that. But I have a worry that there's a bunch of boats are fixing to get pulled to the island pretty soon that hadn't been pulled to the island since last year.
And guaranteed that. I guarantee you.
Yeah. You got to get there to catch them. That's the number one thing.
That's right.
It is. And so, yeah, for people who don't know, so Brandon Lunsford, recreational trailer sales and service. What do y'all do? I mean, trailers are part of it, but what?
We do everything from sell you a new trailer to fix your trailer that comes in on a flatbed. We can do whatever you want us to do, whatever you can dream up, any kind of repair or sales.
Yeah, you've got, you know, we'll talk a lot about boat trailers right now, but, you know, non-boat trailers, he's got a bunch of those as well. I thought this was important. So there's lots of this. It's just a conversation we had the other day. Before somebody hauls to the island, like you said, to catch them, you got to get there. If somebody hadn't moved that boat in a while, moved that trailer in a while, like what do you, I mean, in your business, you see the bulk of the trailers that have a problem in town. What's like your, it's a number one, number two, number three thing we need to check. What do you get the most people come and go, oh gosh, it's not, this isn't working.
Yep.
The number one thing we see are hubs and tires. That's your two most critical things on a trailer to get you there, and your axles on top of that. Most people let their boat trailer sit there for 6 months and they just go hook up to it and say, hey, we're headed fishing. Everybody's worried about the boat, cleaning it up, gassing it up, getting it ready, servicing it, but nobody wants to pay attention to their trailer for years. They don't think about it, and that's the most critical thing on there is, you know, getting you there.
Yeah, nobody thinks about it until that's all they can think about when the trailer isn't, you know.
Sure, they're on the side of the highway or the interstate or going over a bridge.
And not trying to throw anybody under the bus. We got a good example. Somebody, on, you know, right here with us, Mike called me. What was it, last year, Mike, or 2 years ago?
Last year.
Yeah, last year. I was like, hey, man, I'm making some noises and all this. I was like, well, where are you, Mike? He's like, I'm going fishing this morning. I said, well, I'm down there. I'll ride by there and take a look at it. Well, how old's your trailer, Mike? 4 or 5 years old?
It was five years old.
Yeah, and I said, well, you know, when Mike came in, I said, buddy, I said, you're lucky you made it here. What do you mean? I said, well, you know, your brakes are coming apart. Your hubs, you have, you know, the caps have rusted out of the end of them. They're full of water. You have no brake pads. Well, what do you mean? The trailer's, you know, 4 or 5 years old. He's like, well, I didn't know I had to do all that. I'm like, well, Mike.
That's right.
You know, do you take your truck in, you know, maybe every, you know, 5,000 miles, get your oil changed?
If y'all have ever seen Mike's truck, people who don't know Mike personally, Mike's truck looks better than one in the showroom. He can drive a truck for 5 years, and it's immaculate. So just
compare on the outside. Not, maybe the inside ain't
no,
so
it's
good.
Perfect inside, too.
Yeah, and it's not him. It's just everybody's just so consumed with the boat and the motor and the tackle and all that, and they just overlook. And, you know, we get, you know, so many. I mean, I've had, you know, 5, 6 people call me today, hey, man, can I get my trailer and my lights don't work? Hey, man, I got a hub just fell off. I mean, can you get me? I'm going fishing tomorrow. I'm like, dude, what, I mean, this doesn't happen overnight, you know. It's not like you know, it just happens. So it's, salt water is brutal.
You know, my thought, Brandon, on my trailer was, you know, I've just gone back and forth to Dolphin Island, you know, about 4 or 5 times a year. I don't put a lot of miles on it. So my thought was, you know, I'm not wearing this stuff out. It's not like I'm taking it down to Florida every other week to Miami, from Mobile to Miami or something. So I'm not really utilizing it a whole lot. So my thought was, you know, it should be okay. But it was not. Yeah. We had to do a whole redo on my my brakes. I had to put everything on, hubs, the whole 9 yards.
Yeah, and the number one killer that nobody thinks of is the salt water. I mean, you go down there at 4:30 in the morning, you back your truck in the water, and the truck sits there all day. Then you back it in again at, you know, dark. You pull it home, you rinse it off. Well, you really done nothing as far as the salt water, you know, getting the salt water off, because it's dried on there.
But I have started doing something that you told me. I've got a pump jug of salt gone. So when I pull it out, when I launch my boat and I pull it out, I take salt gone and spray it all over my brakes and everything, my hubs, my brakes, everything. So
once you launch, you're not
in the morning. Once I launch, I go to put the trailer up.
What is this stuff? I think I've seen it, Brandon. What is this stuff? What's salt gone?
Yeah, it's salt away. It's, you know, you can. It's the same thing you flush your motors out with, which everybody should be doing periodically with their motor. You know, because the same concept with your motor. You
uh-oh. I just use hose water. I'm doing this wrong.
You know, that salt water dries in your motor. You can, you know, flush it when you get home, but a lot of it's staying there. That salt away neutralizes the salt. You know, it'll neutralize it. So I tell people, if you can't do it, you know, when you put it in or pull it out, when you get home, or, once every month or so, just go spray all your axles and hubs and brakes and all that down and let it, you know, do its job. I mean, the fresh water is not going to do it.
Well, I'm just learning something new here. Yeah. Now I'm another additional worry. So that's something that if you put it on before, so it needs to be after. It's not like a preventative. You don't put it on there and it keeps the salt from getting on.
No, it's a preventive. You do it afterwards, you know. And the biggest thing, like Mike was saying, he said, well, I only pull 4 or 5 times a year. What, a braking system on a boat trailer is not near as complex of a car. Your pads aren't going to last near as long just because, you know, your rotors will sit there. Your boat will sit there for months. You got to pull it down the road. You've got rust that builds up on your rotor. It's going to put some, you know, it's going to wear your pads faster. Your pads just don't wear, you know, the same as they do on a car. And the second thing, you know, Mike has electric over hydraulic brakes. Well, people don't pay attention to their gain, and they're like, well, hell, I don't know what that was set at.
Right.
Well, and you have it set real high. Well, you can wear out your brake pads in less than a year. So there's a lot of variables that go along, you know, along with, you know, tearing your brakes up prematurely.
I tell you what applies to all of us, whether we're running trailer brakes or not. You said hubs, Brandon.
Yeah.
So your recommendation, are you using the Zert fitting type, or are you just putting it in with the rubber cap? Or what is the go-to for your hubs? What do you need to do?
Man, my go-to, you know, hub a lot of people, there's these Vortex hubs over there with the screw-on plastic caps. We replace more axles from those screw-on plastic caps than any axle out there.
Okay, just made a note.
Metal caps.
Okay.
Yeah, the metal caps with the rubber fitting with a Zurich fitting in there. You can use a buddy bearing. You know, they work. They do the same thing. But the problem you run into with those, everybody, and whether it be the posi lube or the buddy bearing, everybody thinks they need to pump a pile of grease in their hubs every time. Well, you've got to leave room for expansion with that grease. So if you pile it full of grease and it's slap full, you get going down the road about halfway the island, that grease has to expand. Well, it's either going to come out the front or the back. And if it comes out the back, you normally, it'll take the spring of the seal with it. So therefore, you're going to compromise with water there. So,
holy cow. That happened to me. And I couldn't figure out that's what happened. That's why the water was getting in.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to leave room for expansion. So if you have the posi lube with a little rubber cap, you know, I tell people, hey, pump it till you see the grease move a little bit and stop. You got to leave room for expansion. You don't want it coming all the way to the front of the cap. The buddy bearing's the same way. If you look at it, you pump it, and you'll see that spring move out and compress. And when it stops, you stop pumping. You keep going. Well, it's just going to – you're going to push the grease out the back of the hub. And even on that one, I like to stop about halfway because you still got to leave room for expansion inside that hub. That's the number one thing, leaving room for expansion for heat. And especially right now, the road's 140 degrees, so you can imagine what your tire's going to be, your hub's going to get.
For sure. Coming right back, more with Brandon Lunsford from Recreational Sales and Service. Some things that may make you sleepless tonight, or you can get out there and tackle these things on your boat trailer before you head to the island next weekend. We'll be right back. Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, the show where you can learn by Mike's mistakes and my mistakes with trailers from our buddy Brandon.
We definitely made them in the past.
From Recreational Sales and Service. Brandon, I want to go back to the hub fitting. And you used, you know, Buddy Bearing was the only brand name I knew, but you threw a couple more out. What'd you call those?
The Posi Lube.
Okay, Posi Lube. And with these, you were telling us, because this is a thing I think a lot of us are guilty of, is if it's full, then let me just fill it up a little bit more and it'll be better.
Put two more pumps in it.
Yeah, you know, full. And you said that is the wrong thing to do.
That's the wrong thing to do. And if you do overfill it, if you fill it up with grease, and you can flush your grease out of there, but you want to basically, and you got to be careful because that little cap is, when you take the plug off and you stick your finger in there, that little cap is sharp. But if you take a towel or something, it just scoop out the old grease in there where you can see the end of your nut, you'll be fine. But if you have that thing slap packed full of grease, then it's got to go somewhere. It's going to come out the front or the back, more than likely the back.
And then you said it blows out like the seal out of the back. And now here, I think I've done the right thing and I'm getting salt water in there.
Yep. Exactly.
Okay. I think an eye opener for a lot of folks on those. And then the other thing, you know, we went through Mike's travails with his trailer brakes and all that. I also am a problem child for you. And, you know, you're looking at axles. You were fixing some stuff on my trailer the other day. You looked at my axles and you were pointing out that, like, I would walk by them and go, well, there's rust on everything on a trailer. And you said, you're within a year losing those axles. What did you see? What do people at their house need to look for on those trailers?
Well, yours, you have spring axles. Mike has torsion axles. Your spindles are welded to the end of the tube right there. So normally they are plug welded also, but that flange right there where it's welded, they can't galvanize that. They can put a galvanized paint on it, but it just starts to rust right there. That's where your rust is going to start. So once that weld, you know, basically rust out, your spindle's going to start peeling off the end of that axle. So that's a telltale sign that, hey, you're on borrowed time.
Okay. So this idea that, like, I got a galvanized trailer, it doesn't matter, but those parts there at the end can't be galvanized.
Yeah, no, they can't dip them.
Sounds like you're going to have new axles pretty soon.
Yeah, we have been talking about that.
Yeah, and actually, Sean's got pretty good life out of his. His trailer's, you know, it's fairly
24 years old.
It's got some age on it. He's got, you know, and they're original, but it's a lot of people, you know, they just, you know, especially people that are dunking them all the time. I mean, it's, you know, we see even on torsion axles like Mike's. I mean, you see, you know, 7 years sometimes, 7-8 years, and like the ones Mike has under his trailer, they're, you know, they're $1,500 a piece, and you know, times that by three,
mm-hmm.
and that doesn't, you know, that doesn't include brakes.
Yep.
No, it doesn't. Mine are disconnected on mine when I got it.
Your brakes were disconnected?
Yeah, I'm not running trailer brakes.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's why I drive slowly.
You got a pretty good sized boat.
Yeah, and I want to get to that. It's a good transition for something else that Brandon told me the other day. And that my trailer is a little undersized for my boat, and people would probably come back at you, Brandon, and say, it's the trailer they sold me the boat with, Brandon.
Yep. Yeah, but it didn't have twin 150 four-strokes hanging on the back of it either back then. You know, they had just one big two-stroke that, you know, was 700 pounds less when you know, deduct the weight of, you know, you're adding another battery, another motor. I mean, the weight adds up, you know.
So the idea that if you buy, because, you know, if you people think, okay, well, I bought the boat with this trailer. Yeah, that's a trailer that can haul at home. But, you know, a lot of times, I guess, if they're trying to sell a boat package or something like that, they sell you, you know, just enough trailer versus the trailer you need if you're hauling to Venice, you know? So, I mean, how do people gauge that? What trailer do they really need?
Well, you know, you really got to size it to the boat. You know, just say, you know, a lot of people, like, you're on the borderline. I mean, your boat probably, let's say, give or take, you know, I would say every bit of 7,000 pounds loaded out, or maybe a little bit better. Well, you've got two 3,500 pound axles. That is 7,000 pounds, but you got to deduct the weight of the trailer also. So, you're going to be, you're going to be 1,000, you know, I would say 1,000 to 2,000 pounds over easily. So you technically need to be on like a 10,000 pound trailer, which gives you 8,600 pound carrying capacity, which I tell everybody, you know, a little bit too much is, you know, better than not enough.
No, and we do that with so many other things. Engines, tackle, outdoors gear. We get, you know, go up, make sure you have enough. And there's this part of that whole chain, until I started talking to Brandon about, that I didn't think about, that the weak link here is how we do trailers.
Absolutely.
Yep. And I sell more new trailers for that same reason. And I'm not going to mention any names, but there's some of your big box dealers that they will skimp on $700. And I'm talking not on a while back. I'm talking today on boats that they will save $700 to $1,000 on a $100,000 rig and put too small of a trailer.
I've seen it, Brandon. I know exactly what you're talking about.
But, you know, people may not know that. It's good to hear, because people just assume, and we all know the danger. But, you know, well, it's the trailer they sold it with. It must be fine.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. And that's, we see it all. I mean, like, it was a month ago. I had 325 Sea Hunt Ultras come in here that were going out of town, and they were on 7,000-pound trailers, and they were uncomfortable with it. They were like, what's my problem? I said, well, you have the wrong trailer. And they're like, well, my boat's only 2 years old. One of them was about 5 years old. I said that, you know, they sold you the wrong trailer, you know. So unfortunately, they spend, you know, $8,500 on a brand new trailer.
Brandon, I had that happen to me when I bought my 25-foot Mako with my first trailer that I had. And it was fine. It was, you know, pretty close to the right size for the 25-foot Mako. But I went and caught like 1,000 pounds of snapper and ice and everything, and it was in my front ice chest. And I pulled a boat out of water, and the whole trailer turned in. It just went to a V. I mean, it just buckled right in the middle, turned into a V. So you're exactly right. I mean, it's fine if you don't have anything, little gear in it, and you know, not much.
Yeah, you're saying a good point.
Gas or ice or fish or whatever.
Yeah, if it's stripped and empty coming from the dealership, right?
That's right. It's fine.
There's no fuel in it, no ice, no rods, no extra batteries, no fat friends.
That's
none
right.
of these things. You're thinking it's fine, but that's not reality.
That's right. I found that out. So every time I buy a trailer now, it is way overboard.
Yeah, you can't oversize. I mean, you can on some of your smaller boats, but these bigger boats, you know, 21 and up, I mean, it's good to oversize them just a little bit.
That's right.
Speaking of 20, like, the number of, get your reaction to this, because I don't know what the workings of what the axles are for, but I do know I see a lot of pretty decent-sized bay boats, not the giants, but the medium-sized bay boats on single-axle trailers. You know, and I'm like, that's got to be a lot of weight on one axle.
Yeah, and you'll see them, and a good telltale is, especially on these bay boats, you'll see they'll have, you know, 3 foot, almost 4 feet of bunks hanging out past the trailer, and that's a good indication right there that, hey, man, they, you're way too small of a trailer.
Or the tires bowed a little bit.
Yeah,
it's not straight. The tires angled a little.
Yeah, get a little pigeon-toed or whatever they call that.
Yeah.
You mentioned tires too at the beginning. So the things on our list to check. Let's check those tires. What are we looking for?
Man, the biggest thing that I see is people. Like, I had a guy come in here yesterday, and he pulled up, and he's like, "Man, what's that? You know, something burning on my trailer." And I was like, "Well." And it was a big custom aluminum bay boat, and it was probably 7,000 pounds. It was undersized, you know, far as the trailer was. But he hadn't pulled the boat in 2 years, and he had 15 pounds of air in his tires.
Oh,
okay. It's 140 degrees outside, so naturally, yep. Those tires smelt like they were melting because, you know, even on a car, you know, low air pressure basically, you know, ramps up the heat on the tire. You know, you overheat a tire because you're putting more surface on the ground, and it's designed, you know, and the air actually helps cool the tire down. So that's the number one killer on a trailer tire is air pressure. And then you see a lot of these trailers, they're putting the really cheap bi-ply tires on. And a bi-ply tire is really, you know, 50, 55 miles an hour. That's about your max speed on those tires. I mean, I had a guy come over and had to put a new tire on a trailer. He came from Mississippi, and he put a new trailer, and he came from Pascagoula on the interstate to here. Well, his tire almost blew out. He was running 80 miles an hour, of course, but the bi-ply tires are not designed to run.
So what is that? Tell us what that tire is.
A bi-ply tire has, like, nylon cords rather than radial, you know, your steel-belted, you know, framework inside the tire, the inner workings of the tire, they're radial, where – basically, if you, I tell people you look at the tire when you're going down the road on a bi-ply, there's nothing to hold the center of the tire basically to the road, and the inside of the tire starts to cave in, and then you start riding on just the outside edge of the tire. So, and then you wear out that outside edge, where your radial won't do that.
Yeah, and what ply tire? I mean, that makes a difference too, doesn't it?
And that's one thing I do is I don't – any tire I stock to sell, I don't stock anything under a 8-ply, whether it be a 13 or a 14-inch tire. You start getting into the 15s and up, like on your boat, Mike, I would – you know, a 14-ply tire is what I would put on there. You can get by with a 10, but a 14 is pretty much well bulletproof.
Yeah, and what do I have on that, on mine, do you know?
I think you do have the 14 ply on yours.
Okay, yeah.
I can't remember. If it was something that was abnormal, we would have addressed it. But, you know, especially these people going to the Keys with these big boats,
mm-hmm.
I have probably a dozen people that we maintenance or trailers that they go to the Keys every year or go to the Bahamas trip. And we started putting 14 ply tires on these things, and we don't have a problem.
You know, so we got the tires fixed. I do want to come up the trailer a little bit. But before that, what Brandon got me looking at too a year or two ago was the way I was trailering that boat. And I, you know, draw tight hitch, and I had the, you know, the normal drop down thing. And he said, you're not pulling this right. And went to an adjustable hitch. And even the other day, he adjusted it, right? I mean, that's a big deal too, how you're pulling.
Yeah, that's a big thing too. Also, I'm glad you brought that up. It's pulling the trailer level. I mean, you see these people, and I'm on the island all the time. I go riding around in the morning in my golf cart, drinking coffee, and I'll see people at the gas station. They'll have a 25 foot center console, 30 foot center console, whether it be tandem or triple axle, and the back tire isn't even hardly touching the ground. The front tire, I tell them it looks like it's about to give birth. I'm like, hey, you need to pull this trailer level, because when your front end is down and your back is kicked up in the air, naturally you're putting the majority of the load on the front axle or the front two axles. So, and that basically puts stress on your bearings, puts, you know, undue heat, you know, your tires. I mean, that's a big killer right there.
Tell me, like, the easiest way for somebody who's going to hook that boat up for next weekend to check that out. Like, is it, I mean, you could, is it just eyeing it? Or, because, I mean, I eyed it the other day and I thought it was right, and then Brandon made another adjustment. Or do you put a level on it? What do you do?
You can eyeball it. I mean, you can pretty much eyeball it. But, I mean, if you want to get technical with it, I tell them, you know, if you the back of your trailer is at, you know, 22 inches or 24 inches, and your front of your trailer is at 20, you know, if you took a tape and measured from the ground down, you know, from the bottom of the trailer, you need to be an even measurement. You know, each front and back needs to be the same in measurement or around the same. You know, so if you're at 24 and 20, well, then you need to split the difference and be at 22 front and back.
Great tip.
Yeah, and you know those adjustable. It's interesting because I thought, well, you could just get it with a regular drop, and I guess if you had the same boat all the time. But I trailer a lot of different things. That getting that truly adjustable, you know, trailer hitch made a big difference.
Exactly. Yeah, that's really the only way you're really going to do it. A single axle, it really doesn't matter. You can buy a hitch and try to get it, you know, just a regular standard hitch and get it somewhat level, but you know to be perfect, you need to get an adjustable hitch, and there are some that are inexpensive, you know, $120, but it'll save you a lot of money in the long run.
And a lot of heartache and not getting to go fishing.
Yeah.
Rope. Now, just a couple minutes here left, but let's come up on that trailer. We've come up, you know, beyond axles and hubs, and these things are the main things you see fail. Anything we need to look at for bunks and rollers and those kind of things?
Yeah, I mean, just look under your trailer at the bunks and just make sure, you know, check your U-bolts, make sure none of them are, you know, severely rusted where they're about to break, because we see a lot of people that, you know, they'll say, oh, man, I put my boat in the water, my bunk's floated off. I mean, that's not something that just happened overnight. You know, I tell people, people just don't pay attention to the trailer. I mean, just it doesn't take 5-10 minutes, get up under your trailer, look at it, look at your hubs. I tell people, I'm like, hey, take pictures. If you're having concerns or questions, man, take pictures. I'll let you text them to me. I'll look at it and say, hey, man, you're good to go. Or, hey, man, you need to address that like now.
Yeah, he can. As I've sent him pictures, I'm like, yep. He's like, send me a picture of this. He goes, okay, well, this is what's going on.
Yep.
All right. Yeah. Well, as people do that, and hopefully their trailers are good, but if they're not, they want to text pictures to you, come see you in person. Brandon, how they find you?
We're 5985 Rangeline Road. Phone number 251-661-9952. I do answer my phone on the weekends, and, you know, I do offer advice on the weekends. If I'm available to meet you up here or I've got somebody in the area that can meet you, I'll definitely, you know, I'm here to help you.
That's for sure.
And we do appreciate it. And this man knows. I appreciate it. Sean appreciates it. And all the fishermen appreciate you. Thank you, Brandon.
Yeah, I appreciate y'all.
There he goes. Brandon Lunsford with Recreational Sales and Service. And hope, like me, you learned a little bit about that trailer under your boat. Or a lot of
it. He taught me a lesson.
That's for sure. Both of us. All right. Coming right back, we'll talk some rodeo. Tommy McNichol from the 91st Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo joins us. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, glad to have you all along. And it is Roy Martin Young Anglers Tournament Saturday, meaning we are less than a week from the 91st Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo, the big boys.
Can't wait.
Big boys tournament.
That's the tournament I look for every year.
You and, I don't know, so Tommy McNichol, Vice President of Communications here with the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. You and how many other people?
4,000.
I mean, y'all's numbers are something amazing. People that have not heard that stat, it's not just us saying it. It's Guinness World Book of Records, right?
It is. And they came down in 2011 and verified it. And it seems every year we are beating that number. So when you come down to the site and you see the event, you're literally witnessing something that's never been done.
So
it's a world record every year.
Yeah.
That's right.
So it is the Alabama DC Fishing Rodeo, the 91st, kicking off. Well, it's already kind of kicked off with Roy Martin, but let's talk about next week and get people on schedule here. Ask the frequently asked questions. When do I have to have my tickets purchased by, Tommy?
5 a.m. Friday.
Okay.
July 19th.
How can I buy tickets?
You can go to adsfr.com, follow the link, or you can go to one of our ticket outlets. That'll be on the website as well.
Okay. So y'all have heard this. You got to have them for none of this. Got to have them before 5. Go ahead and get them today. Go ahead and get them today. Get it done. All right. So your ticket's bought by then. And then you buy your ticket. But also, that is just the start of the magical world of the rodeo, because there's jackpots and things to get into as well.
Oh, yeah. Jackpots, prizes. We every year we give away our contender boat and a random drawing for anyone who weighs a general open competition legal fish. This year we are drawing a second 17-foot Reaper duck boat from Neil Foster's Marine, and that is eligible to speckled trout jackpot. You would have to have a speckled trout jackpot ticket and weigh in a speck throughout the time.
A legal speckled trout.
Okay,
roster.
But it's going to be drawing from. It's not the. So if you enter the jackpot, you bring the legal trout in.
Mm-hmm.
What if I'm not number one on the board on that?
You don't have to be number one. You just have to weigh the speckled trout, and it'd be legal.
Mike.
Yeah.
Might need to shut down a little bit of the king mackerel fishing and catch a trout here.
I can catch one speckled trout, I think.
Catch a legal trout, and that's pretty awesome.
It is, and it's something that just came this year, and we were fortunate enough to get that sponsored by Foster's Marine, and we're really excited about it because it's just something else to draw people to the tournament.
And if people have not, if y'all look for these Reaper duck boats, it's like everything in the world has gotten better and higher tech. If you grew up duck hunting out of a 14-foot aluminum boat, it ain't the same thing. Y'all just go
a little noisy.
Yeah, go check out what the Reaper is. It's next generation on these duck boats. All right, and a reminder too, like you said, anybody who weighs in a legal fish, even if you're not in the speckled trout jackpot or any jackpot, you just have an overall ticket, open ticket. You weigh in a legal fish, you could win that contender.
A 25-foot contender bay boat with a 250 Yamaha motor.
And it's pretty much got trailer. It's boat, motor, trailer, T-top. Does it have T-top on it? I know at one time.
That I'm not 100% sure of.
I know in the past, Bob Conklin would put a T-top on. I don't know if this
year
generally does not.
Generally, there is a T-top, but I'm not sure what form will come in.
I got
this year, but it will. We will have one on display at the rodeo site along with the Reaper boat.
All right. Let's also talk about the entertainment going on.
It's all entertainment. So it starts this weekend with the kids, the Roy Martin Young Anglers Tournament. So when the kids come, our weigh station is open from 9 a.m. To 5 p.m. We will have kids' activities, inflatables on site for the anglers when they come in. So it's really more of an event. You come in, you weigh your fish, you get your hot dog, your chips, your Bluebell ice cream, and your drink, and just have a good time.
And the kids love that. I won't tell you what, they can't wait to get off the boat and go get them a Coke and a hamburger.
You mean
or
Mike
a hot dog? Yeah, well, I have stole a couple of ice creams from them.
What? No, they come in and they pull off a 10-inch, 12-inch fish, but you think they need a front-end loader to take that thing off the dock.
That's right. They're so excited about it. I love taking kids fishing on that tournament.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And then for the big tournament as well, we talk about, well, you'll see it with Roy Martin today, but the big tournament as well, the expansion of the docks. I mean, y'all have been kind of like a building boom going on at the rodeo site over the last, and maybe I was wrong, but it seemed like for years it was like, it kind of looks the same, And then, I don't know, 10 years, something happened. And y'all started.
That's right. We did it a big boom. And like I said, we're getting more and more interest every year. So we had to expand. To accommodate all that, and like we talked about, trying to get it more efficient through our weigh station and on our docks, that's a big.
You got another dock now too, right?
Yes, we do have a dock 7, so we've actually added a couple more sluice boats to pull into in our shallower dock. We've also added that platform between our dock 1 and 2. We didn't lose any slip space, but it does create a lot more elbow room down there on the dock. So that's just something to make pretty much everybody's life easier.
I'll tell you what, with all the boats that's coming in, especially at the last minute, the last day, all the folks, y'all do a great job getting everybody in and getting everybody out.
And that has a lot to do with our weigh station. Dr. Sean Powers just really knows how to kind of work the operation. And we have a lot of women and C-Lab folks inside the weigh station that just know the operation. It's very fluid to them.
Yep.
Okay. Also, as people come in from, we're talking about people coming in weighing in fish, but the people want to come look at fish. Let's talk about that and kind of, and then we'll get into sharks from that too, because that's a big draw.
Free to spectators. So our site can accommodate plenty of people, plenty of viewing space for the fish coming through the weigh station. So it's free. You just walk through our air conditioning tent,
yes.
Pop out the other side, and live rodeo.
Yeah, and you can see fish on ice there too. But they are doing the live tank this year.
Yes, we have a live weigh-in tank along with our big game hangers, and there's just a lot to see when you go. I don't think if you get down there when after the weigh station opens that you won't have a good.
Oh, yeah. There's stuff to study on ice. And then you go watch, and I know Tommy does it, but if you would watch the way that traffic flows, people look at the fish on ice, and then they start gathering at that live. People love to see a live speckled trout in a tank. They just gather around that joker. And then the thing that does get the crowd real fired up, sharks coming in,
yep. Dr. Marcus Dryman is our shark expert.
As they call him, Sharkus Dryman.
They do call him Sharkus Dryman, and it's just something it really brings a lot of excitement when you bring one
it's
in.
It's the biggest
and
thing.
It really.
What
does
do the TV
crowd.
Cameras do when they come down to the rodeo site?
Where's the shark?
That is correct. does that tell you what they want to see?
And it wasn't there for many, many years.
Right.
I mean, it was there for a long time, and then it went away for a long time.
So bulls and tiger sharks are in this year, yep. Which could be. I mean, who knows what they catch, but there could be some monstrous big bull sharks and tiger sharks.
And all the kids want to see that. Every kid wants to see a shark.
The kids. The grown-ups. I watch this, Mike.
We matter, too.
Yeah. they want to check them out as well. So, I mean, you never know when they're coming in, but usually it seems like people are weighing those sharks daily. What I've seen in like last year, like there's a good chance that one's going to come in on Friday or one's going to couple come in on Saturday too.
Oh yeah. Well, I believe altogether we had 14 shark caught last year.
Right.
And like I said, it was gone for a little while, but, and then came back. I think that had a lot to do with the research that not necessarily Dr. Powers and Dr. Marcus do, but people like them, have done the research and we were able to accommodate
the
category.
The other question, I'm going to pose it this way. Hey, Tommy, I can go buy, you know, I've had my rodeo shirts every year. I can go buy those at the store here, right, in town?
No, sir.
No, I can't. Can I just get them mail ordered to me?
You cannot get them online. You cannot get them mailed.
What gives?
Come down to the rodeo site. You got to see this stuff.
See, it's marketing, y'all. So, I mean, there are people absolutely every year I've talked to, they said, hey, Sean, what's going on? I'm down here. We got to do whatever this evening, but I can't. They drive down to make sure they get their shirt.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And we'll
open a hat.
We'll open up Saturday at noon for the Roy Martin tournament, and then again on noon Thursday during the Liars Contest, or day of the Liars Contest.
Yeah, so let's talk Liars Contest as well. That is you told me the other day when we were talking that y'all capped this thing. You trying to minimize the number of liars on Dauphin Island? What are y'all doing?
We're not trying to minimize the liars. We're trying to minimize the time it takes them to lie. So if you give everybody, you know, X amount of minutes, once you get to, you know, 5-10 people, that really starts to add up in
right.
the evening. And quality over quantity, I guess.
Yeah, so it's – but so somebody gets down there, signs up, first come, first serve. How's this work?
It will be first come, first serve. We'll start taking entries at 5 p.m. If you come on site, just ask for Tommy. Somebody with the radio will be there. Just get a hold of me, and I'll get you signed up.
All right. So the Liars Contest gets it all kicked off for the big rodeo, the 91st Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo, and everything they need to know, I guess, on the website.
Yes, sir. ADSFR.com.
All right. Good stuff, Tommy. We'll be seeing you at the rodeo site.
Yes, sir, you will.
All right. Coming right back. More of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, glad to have you here. And ready to fish.
I'm ready. I'm fired up as you can get, Sean. I've been buffing and waxing my bow.
Good.
Trying to get it to look good for the rodeo.
Well, I've been fixing and wiring, making sure everything's working for the rodeo. So there's a different – we've both been working on the boats pretty steadily. Mine's just to make sure everything's running.
You know, it gets to a point on your boat that if you don't keep it – waxed, buffed, and waxed. It got to the point, I had it ceramic coated about 3 or 4 years ago, I had a ceramic coat. It did good, man. I'd get blood on there, and you could just take the water hose.
Yeah, you're telling me, yeah.
And just wipe it out. I mean, it just come right off of the water hose just about. But now it got to the point where I have to go and really take a rag and rub.
Right.
And
now, do you reapply that stuff then? Can you get another coating? Or
I just waxed it. Okay. I got some really good, high-quality wax. And
I'd wax my boat, but I would hate to waste the wax.
Why?
It's tough.
Now
there's a certain point where you
buff it, you'd be surprised how good it looks.
I gotta fix some wiring arrays in the cluster here.
Well, maybe you need to get it where it crank and run before you wax it.
No, it runs just fine. No, it's just so I'm running a cutty cabin, so I got a whole another series of wires that run down below, right, and then I have for lights all up top, and it's one of these things we've all done it. Like this light's working.
Yep.
It's on the same lead, but this one isn't. But yep. It's good if you go put it. That's the world I'm in right now.
You just got to make sure the air conditioner's working down the
cabin.
That
air conditioner thing works, that icy breeze. I think we talked about in the past this little thing that you, because like last week and stuff, camped on the boat for a few days. And now it eats ice. It should be the hungry icy breeze, but it's one of these, y'all, and I know a lot of people go, oh, yeah, I know about that. That's a swamp cooler. It's not a swamp cooler. It's some of the same ideas, but it's like an ice chest. And you put ice in it, and it has a little reservoir in the bottom where, as the ice is melted, there's ice-cold water runs up through, really like a heat pump unit would be on your house.
Yep.
It runs through, takes the heat out.
Through some coils.
Through coils, and the heat then is melting the ice. You're exchanging the ice for the cool air coming out of it.
Right.
And it's not like going to air condition some house, but in the cuddy cabin on a small boat like mine, you put it on for 2 or 3 hours, it gets it cool enough to go to sleep. And
listen, I had new air conditioner put in my house this week.
Yeah.
And the guys I know.
Wow. Oh, and you're fishing the radio.
That's a whole different story, yeah. But anyway, they had one of those
icy breeze,
whatever you call it.
Yeah, icy breeze.
In the attic with them. Now, that's pretty good.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
The hell I've played working in an attic before in the summer. That's a genius idea.
Yeah, just blow a little cool air on while they're up there in that 150-degree temperature in that.
I never even thought about it for that application.
And it worked great for me, said.
So it's a good deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I only take it if I'm camping overnight on the cuddy cabin. Like if I'm just fishing, I don't take it, but because it's just one more thing on the boat.
You need more ice. You need a big ice chest lots of ice.
I got a big ice chest. As much as I love pursuit boats, their ice box they put in the back, the fish box.
Yep.
Is about as insulated as much as an aluminum can. Before we finish up for today, too, looking forward to another big event. So we've got, of course, the rodeo now, but coming up in September, G&D Farms Outdoor Expo. It's September 13th through the 15th.
That's going to be a big deal.
We're going to be out there.
A big deal.
Yeah, we're going to be out there with Midday Mobile, and we'll be out there. You and I, you'll be doing double service between Mike Ward's Liberty Safes and did I tell you? FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors on site.
No, you didn't tell me that. But
yeah, now you know.
We getting overtime pay on that?
Yeah, overtime. Double what you and I normally make on the show. What you've made on the show, I'm going to do that times 100.
Oh, man, that means I get two Cokes.
That's right. So it's going to be big money, but that's coming up in September. And it's, we'll get, as we get closer, we'll get our buddy Lee Davis back on to talk about it. But it's an outdoors event, the kind of one we've been asking about for like hunting stuff. And it's going to be there at the grounds September 13th through 15th. So it'll be something you need to put on the calendar now. We'll see you then. All right. Good luck to the Utes out there fishing right now. Next week, we'll be getting ready for rodeo.
I'll be on assignment next week.
Yeah, maybe we'll all be on assignment.
Yep.
Maybe we'll just, All right. Good luck. Get your trailers fixed. Go have fun.
Yep.